welcome to Micro Brew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined once again by Kurt Hogue, Brewers reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is in Phoenix, Arizona for just a few more minutes. In fact, as you're hearing this, well, more than a few minutes, but as you're hearing this, he might be on his way home. We don't know. He is returning to the good land of Milwaukee. We've got some The great land. We got some snow on the ground for you.
Okay.
Got some busted NCAA brackets. That tournament has not unfolded as I think.
We simply are not going to talk about basketball.
Oh, I wanted to. I thought that'd be great, starting with our brackets and with
Jack Golkey.
Jack Golkey, Pewaukee native, Jack Golkey. That was a lot of fun. I watched that game in my parents' den. They are my father, a Kentucky Wildcats season ticket holder. I appreciate Jack Golkey and the content and the fact that I covered him in high school. I really had a really great time watching him. My father did not
He didn't enjoy that. No, he hates Jack Golkey.
Yeah, I would say it's less anger directed at anyone affiliated with the Oakland Golden Grizzlies and more with the Kentucky Wildcats.
So in one person with the Wildcats.
Well, yes. Yeah, he's definitely part of that Big Blue Nation. He sees a future separate from John Calipari as head coach
in his mind's eye.
It's you. It's you and the $33 million that the Kentucky
It's you, Athletics high. Program. It's the problem. It's you.
It might be. It is a random tournament, Kurt. Is the SEC bad because all their teams lost in the first round? I don't know. Yes. I don't think so. Yes. No,
It does not mean more there. It doesn't.
No.
Sorry. It doesn't mean more.
I
will say we can start to tie this into baseball. An unnamed Brewers pitcher is very frustrated with me because I told him to take Wisconsin to the Sweet 16.
Oh, no.
But the issue is I did not tell him to take them any further. He did that. And there is regret involved in the decision. So this is a lesson to all the children that listen to this podcast. Because, you know, we are a family podcast. Kids can listen to this. Don't listen to Kurt about Wisconsin basketball. There are actions for your consequences.
Okay, nope. So two
consequences things. For your actions.
Yes, two things.
Good Lord.
First of all, Kurt, you watched the Wisconsin Badgers for the majority of the year. I don't know how you could have been so optimistic. The Big Ten tournament was a success. To have thought that team would make it beyond the Sweet 16 or to the Sweet 16 is extremely ambitious.
It was just to the Sweet 16.
Well, that's somebody who really needed that win over Duke, like deep down in their soul, talking. That's what was happening. Number two, which pitcher? You're not just going to not tell us which pitcher.
It's Wade Miley.
It's Wade Miley. Of course it is. You counseled him. You gave him counsel. He trusted you. And what did you do, Kurt?
It's not me. I didn't turn the ball over 20 times.
It was only 19, I think. Actually, I have no idea what it was. It was a number I stopped counting. Robert Gasser's Houston Cougars, though. They're on my TV as we speak, as we record this on Sunday night. About to get going.
Cougs, my champs.
Mm-hmm. However, if Buzz Williams' Texas A&M team were to win, we'd be one step closer to Buzz Williams versus Marquette for the right to go to the Final Four. That is content that I want in my veins, Kurt. I'm excited about that prospect.
It's all about the content for you. We know this.
Northwestern has scored fewer than 20 points and a half in back-to-back NCAA tournament games. Get it together, Wildcats. What are you doing?
They're playing in the big, they're playing in the Big Ten. That's their problem.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we've talked a little basketball.
We've done the basketballing.
You know, you mentioned Brewers pitching, and I want to go back to that again because it wasn't actually. It's quite rugged, much like the pitching staff is quite rugged. And as I looked at today, Todd Rosiak, our colleague, posted 1 through 26, kind of ranking the members of the Brewers roster. Had Freddie Peralta at number one. Spoiler alert, but I think that's probably right. My concern is the number of pitchers in the top 10. That I don't think the Brewers fans thought they'd be counting on coming into this year at all.
That you don't want as in your top 10.
Yeah. I mean, all respect to Colin Ray. If he is the ninth most important player on your roster, I think your roster has some issues. Jacob Junis, all respect. That's not someone you signed to be one of the 10 most important players on your roster. Jakob Junis, we have an issue, Kurt. I think it's a couple things. One is, DL Hall is going to be relied upon to be something pretty special to try and help get this rotation back up to speed. But number two, I mean, we know Wade Miley is starting on the injured list. We now know Brandon Woodruff has no intention of coming back this season. Not that we really thought he would, but I just think pitching-wise, I don't want to say there's nothing here, Kurt, but this isn't a team that's suddenly an offense team, no pitching. Like, that's not where they are. It's not a good pitching staff, Kurt. At least on paper, it's a very dicey proposition. So tell me I'm wrong.
I want to tell you wrong. I want to be the advocate of the devil. However, I was talking about this with a couple of people the other day. Being down here and in an environment where basically you end up asking about the importance of Colin Ray as a number three starter or how critical Joe Ross is to this pitching staff, and you ask like these kind of questions every single day over and over, it starts to hit you a little bit that like, oh gosh, they really were relying on Joe Ross. That's not good. I think like these guys in the aggregate will probably end up being fine, but it's certainly not an inspiring collection of pitchers when you look at who's, especially with Wade Miley hurt, even though, you know, it's not going to be too long, but that's still going to knock you a little bit without Devin Williams, without Brandon Woodruff, which we knew was going to be out. But nevertheless, like, you're just banking on a lot from a lot of different guys who haven't really proven themselves in terms of performance or total innings. I don't know, you know, I think DL Hall's going to have a really, really nice year. I really do. But I'm not sure how much workload you can truly expect from a guy who has, you know, I don't know what his career high for innings is in the minors. What, maybe has he gone over 100? Probably not significantly over, if that. And he's been a reliever the last few years. So these are all the millions and bajillions of questions facing the pitching staff. I do think I'm higher on them, again, in the aggregate than you are, because they have certain strengths. Each pitcher has a certain strength that I think the Brewers can potentially maximize, like Joe Ross's slider. He's not a guy you want facing the lineup multiple, you know, three times. Jacob Junis might be in the same boat. Like, you can maximize these pitches, maybe put some guys back-to-back that have contrasting styles, like a DL Hall followed by Joe Ross or Junis, you know, just to throw names out. But yeah, when it's every day, you kind of realize the reliance on the amount of unproven arms. It does make you question some things, and I am in the questioning phase.
So give me a sense of what you feel good about in the aggregate, because yes, we're focused on opening day, and we know that Robert Gasser is going to pitch for this team. We know that Aaron Ashby, well, we hope Aaron Ashby gets back up to a point where the velocity returns and he'll be pitching for this team. We know Wade Miley will be back in short order. We know that there's guys like Carlos Rodriguez. There's some sneaky sleeper types in the minor leagues, but I would say that we're kind of at this bridge area where a lot of their great pitching talent in the minors is still not guaranteed to be here in 2024. So the upgrades aren't coming necessarily from there. And to do what you're describing, to do this sort of thing where you piggyback guys, or where you have guys that you rely on for five innings, six innings at most, and then you turn it over to the bullpen, you're going to need a lot of depth. I don't know if I see that. Like, it isn't devoid of depth, but it's also there isn't that extra layer of protection in AAA where it's like, well, they're going to be able to rotate guys through and still be fine. So what is it in the aggregate that you see outside of what you started talking about there, just that gives you some optimism that this team can hold it together for 162 games?
I think the organization has done it in terms of maximizing their staff in recent years. Now, in the last 3-4 years, it looked very different in terms of how they maximized it, because you had horses, very large, fast horses at the top of the rotation.
Yeah.
You lack the horses. There might be one horse, but there's a lot of ponies, but ponies are good. Ponies can be good.
This metaphor is going to fall apart on you very quickly.
It's falling apart on me.
It's in a tough place. Yes. Very fast. But I see what you mean. That hides a lot of scars when you've got two elite, elite, elite starters. That hides anything else, and they're gone.
This much is clear. There is a plan. We don't know exactly what the plan is. I don't know if the Brewers know exactly what the plan is, but there are parameters to the plan. There are ideas. There is synergy, cohesion, to use buzzwords from the American business vernacular, but I think that matters. They're going into the season and they have some semblance of an idea that, or at least some knowledge, some deep knowledge that they're going to have to be flexible, and they're willing to be, you know, a bit unconventional. I asked Pat Murphy today on Sunday, as we record this, if they were going to go with openers. He said, yes. Mm-hmm. Are they going to go with non-traditional openers? I said, are you going to go like guys three innings? He would say, he labeled those, JR, quarter horses, because they are openers, but they go a little longer. That doesn't seem to be super in the plans, but it's like ideas like that, I think, that the Brewers are going to be open to. And they're going to throw a lot of different things at the wall in terms of their staff, and you just hope a few of them stick. Like, I think DL Hall is going to be pretty dang good this year. So between him and Freddie Peralta, that it's not a super duper inspiring one too, but if you can piecemeal together 27 outs, you know, two out of those other 3 days, and you score some runs, I think that's a decent enough 1-2 at the top.
I like that idea of quarter horses. I think that would be that's going to be popular if it catches on.
I would like to see some teams do it. We've seen the opener. We've seen the opener, but what if you do the opener, but with like three innings?
Well, and what the opener gives you is it gets you an advantage out of the box, because the three presumably toughest hitters have now had to face a high, you know, a high effort reliever. And now the starter gets to start off on the right foot with, you know, presumably lesser hitters, unless it's like the Dodgers and there's no such thing as a lesser hitter. But, you know, so this doesn't necessarily put a longer guy on good footing. It's just asking kind of everybody to pitch in an equal amount, not have anybody do the 6-7 inning part of it and the 1 inning part of it. It's everybody kind of do 1 2/3 or 3 or whatever.
It's going to vary by the health of the pitching staff, you know, how guys are available, the performance. But, you know, like maybe they say there's a day you could go Brian Hudson for two innings on an opener. If a team has lefties that they always put the top of their lineup, maybe go like Brian Hudson as an opener and then Jakob Junish for however long, like you just let him eat, you know, he's built up. He can give you length, and you just kind of see how it goes. You know, maybe go into wanting four innings and you end up getting a little more. So it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird, but like Pat Murphy says, this is what they have to do. They understand it. They understand the reality of their situation, although it is a situation that they control.
Last year, five guys made at least 21 starts. Hauser, 21. Miley, 23. Colin Ray, 22. And then Burns, 32. Peralta, 30. I bet you we don't have five guys with 20 starts. I wonder if we have more than two guys with 20 starts when this is all said and done. Although
you could have what, 8 or 9 with 10 starts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I could see them going to the well of Colin Ray, DL Hall. Those are the guys who start a game. So they get those numbers, but they just don't work deep into them. On regular occasions. Okay.
Well, you can get 6 innings out of Colin Ray just about every time. That much, you know.
Yes. You'll probably surrender 3 to 4 runs for sure, but you know, not every time. So, okay, so the pitching staff is different. Do they have the offense? Do they have the mashers to overcome what they have going on with the pitching staff? Because there's been offense here especially over the second half of spring training. Willy Adames hit 2 home runs today. He's been hitting the ball really well. You know, Eric Haas isn't going to have a spot on this team, but he's been hitting the ball really well. There are signs.
Let's talk about Eric Haas.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Before we get into the actual offense, the construction of this roster still isn't a slam dunk. What is happening with Eric Haas?
At every turn, it is you're met with Eric Haas is having such a great spring, such a great guy, but we can't carry 3 catchers.
Right. So what is happening?
I mean, Gary Sanchez has not inspired confidence behind the plate. On Sunday, he had a play where they had a guy thrown out at the plate and he missed the ball. He dropped the ball. It's just not been good.
Okay.
And that gives a little cause to pause and go, huh, I wonder if they do try to go. Because think of it this way. You have to go. You can't go more than 13 pitchers, but you can go less than 13 pitchers.
Okay.
And perhaps with the off days early in the season, maybe they try to sneak Eric Haas on this thing. I could see that happening. I still am going to guess that Eric Haas gets DFA'd slash traded. He's had a great spring. And behind that, like, what people aren't probably seeing as much because the games aren't televised so much is that he's hitting the ball hard every time. It's missiles off his bat. Even the outs are lineouts to the warning track, lineouts right at a guy, deep flyouts all the time. They're trying to see if there's a way to keep him. I'm just not sure that it's going to end up that way. Carrying three catchers is difficult. Sure, they could probably pull it off for like a week, but what's the point of doing it for a week?
Yeah, that's not
just right. Kicking the can.
Are we sure Gary Sanchez makes this team?
Gary Sanchez makes this team.
Okay. So there's no secret, super secret plan.
Don't
there
where... be silly. Gary Sanchez is still hitting the ball really well. And that's what that's primarily what he's here to do. Wild Bill Contreras is going to catch a lot of games. We haven't seen someone squat this much in Milwaukee since Jason Kendall.
Yes. I think that one of the three catchers is going to be a DH pretty much every game. I mean, which makes me feel like, you know, when we came into the offseason, it kind of felt like Christian Yelich or one of the outfielders could handle that DH spot. But, you know, with these guys, especially if they try to carry three, they're going to need one of them to be DH every day. So that leaves three and only three outfield spots. Yelich, of course, has one of them. Churio is probably going to have one of them. And then that, you know, gets to why maybe they really are serious about Sal Frelick at third base, or why Joey Weimer had to go back down to AAA to work on some things as we get to the start of the season. You know, and again, I do want to talk about the offense as a whole, but last year we'll talk about here about Weimer and Aaron Ashby going down to AAA. I think at the start of camp, if you knew those two guys would be going down, that would be a surprise. I don't think it's a surprise now where we are. Ashby's a little more obvious to me. With Joey Weimer, you know, he went down to start last year too, and then he was up within a day, different circumstances. Do you think this is you really need to fix your swing to the point that we're comfortable and like maybe that takes a couple months? Or do you think this is just a roster crunch situation and it will take a couple weeks? How do you sort of view Joey Weimer's plight?
I think Joey Weimer needs to hit down there. He needs to get every day at bats. And then when he shows he's ready, there will not be, because the way baseball seasons play out, there will be a not too difficult decision to bring him up. They'll be able to find a way on the roster somehow, whether it's injury or, you know, poor performance from an infielder or an outfielder. They'll be able to find a way to get Joey Weimer on this roster. And like you said, last year he came up after a day. So probably he's going to be up here sooner, much rather than later. Someone's going to get hurt at some point. And I mean, I guess there's a variety of ways that they could go in terms of who they call up, but there's not a, I mean, it does depend on what they need, but there's not a ton of other options out there that make as much sense as Weimer would. We'll see how Blake Perkins ends up hitting against lefties. It's weird because his splits last year were opposite of, you know, what the Brewers say about his swings. They say his swing from the right side is better than the left, but he was a better left-hand hitter than right. Although I guess history might bear it out from the right side, but he's going to get, I think Blake Perkins is going to be the regular center fielder against left-handed pitching. They might throw Garrett Mitchell in there sometimes, but I think that's why Blake Perkins is on the roster. Although I guess they haven't confirmed he's on the roster. We're just kind of assuming at this point, but yeah, I think Weimer is the guy out of all of the young players besides maybe Churio that you need to, whatever level he's at, you need to get him every day at bats. You know, if it didn't make sense if Churio, they felt he was ready, but, you know, maybe not one of their best three in the outfield, he'd be in AAA. He's got to play every day. The same exact thing is with Joey Weimer. I think Garrett Mitchell, you can sit him a little more. Sal Frelick, well, he's played himself into third base, so he's going to play just about every day. But Joey Weimer would never play against righties in this roster, so it just makes sense to try to figure out that swing and unlock something with hitting coach Al LaBeouf at AAA because, yeah, there's still a lot of room to work there.
You know, we forget Joey Weimer has only played – he's played fewer than 50 games at AAA. I mean, that's probably like – that's not a tiny sample of games at AAA, but in his career, he's still a guy who hasn't played that much at that level and could easily get more. And obviously, like, you've got a guy like Churio who's barely played at all at AAA, so that's not necessarily a sign of anything, but you could definitely see him getting better with some of the spotlight off, and
And they, like you said, they just don't need him right now. Garrett Mitchell's going to make this team. Is Jackson Chourio, by the way, is he a right fielder? Like we thought he was.
Yeah, he's going to play right field, a lot of right field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. How would you grade his defense at this point? You wrote about that at jsonline.com. How
on the on the whole?
Yeah.
C minus.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? And that's but he's thought of as a great defensive player.
In the last few days, it's been a lot better. You can see the athleticism take over on some plays. And the play he made on Saturday against the Cubs at their place, I thought was really impressive. It was going back to the wall, that little right field, you know, how it kind of cuts out and goes back on the right field corner. He, you know, was sprinting back, took one look at the wall, and then made about five more steps and made a catch as he ran into the wall leaping. So, like, that's a really tough instinctual play to make where you have to just want the ball and go get it. No, you cannot be timid. And there's been some indecision, some timidness in some of his outfield play. So I thought that was a big step for him.
It does feel like one of the things people talk about in one way, shape, or form as Chourio has rapidly risen is how adaptable he is, how quickly he seems to grasp whatever he needs to fix or change. You know, he did have sort of a slow start last year in the minors and immediately seemed to flip a switch and figure it out. And that's, I could see like a 2 week stretch where he's just lost and then he just completely figures it out at the big league level. I could see that possibly for him this year. He is, by the way, only one of. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was saying we're going to be on here saying you have to be patient with him. You have to let him struggle too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy who's he's talented and athletic, and those guys more often than not figure it out.
There aren't going to be as many Jacksons as I wanted debuting in the big.
Yeah, how many Jackson? Yeah, well, Jackson Holiday got the L handed to him.
Yeah, so it's just Jackson Merrill and Jackson Chourio. With Jackson Jobe, of course, not starting. So we are well short of a Jackson 5 at this point. I'm disappointed, but Jackson Holiday will be here plenty in the year 2024. Okay, back to this original question. The offense, does it mash enough? Yes or no?
No.
No.
But I think it mashes more.
Okay.
Definitely more. Yeah.
Than last year or?
For sure last year.
Okay.
More than in recent years as well. Okay. I think it might be It might be the best offense since 2018.
Oh, well, now you're talking. Now you have my curiosity.
So the mashing in Milwaukee is relative, right?
That's true.
Like if you finish 10th in WRC plus and runs scored, that's really, 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 really good given the track record in the last decade or so. Kind of funny how things have flipped in that regard, but. Yeah, I think they'll hit. They got guys.
Mm-hmm.
They got guys up and on the line. Like if Chourio, once he's settled in, he's going to hit.
Yeah.
Garrett Mitchell is giving you some reasons to think he's going to hit. Sal Frelick, probably going to hit. And you add that on top of their top four already, which is pretty dang good, in Yelich, Contreras, Adamas, Hoskins. It certainly is not a bad lineup.
Let's talk about Christian Yelich. We actually have talked hardly at all about Christian Yelich this offseason. After, you know, he was kind of the topic du jour for four offseasons in a row.
This is what happens when you're back.
When you're back, baby. What do we think happens here? All we have is spring training. I don't know if there's anything to glean, but what are your expectations for Christian Yelich in 2024?
115 WRC plus.
Okay. Well, was he 113 last year?
He was in like 120s.
Okay.
115 WRC plus, 16 bombs, 28 stolen bases.
Okay. Solid.
Yeah. 370 on base. 370 on base.
Okay. I wonder if there will be even more stolen bases this year. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Spring training trends, but they're running a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does feel like, it feels like the floodgates are going to open a little bit more under Pat Murphy.
They do have fellows who can run.
They do. They have some of the fastest. We talk about Bryce Turang's offense. Man can still fly. And
he's fast.
He is like the fifth fastest guy on this team, despite the, you know, even though he can actually fly. So that's a very good thing. I'm sure
he's no Blake Perkins.
Few people
fast.
Are. Few fast. People are. If Blake Perkins could just hit, he would be so good. I mean, the defense he wrote about how great he is and how maybe sneaky the best center fielder in baseball, question mark. That's quite the assertion. But if he could just hit, man, switch hitter, like, oh, that'd be so great. But we haven't seen that yet. But there's time. Yes, last year was his true rookie season. He made his major league debut last year. That is something we easily forget. So we'll see how that develops this season. That would be nice. Kurt, what haven't we talked about enough? It's spring training. You end up covering the same ground over and over and over. We do have allegedly a season opener coming up this week in New York against the Mets, March 28th. Our colleague Todd Rosiak, who loves a good weather situation. It is not a pretty forecast in New York this week, so I'm not entirely sure.
We're getting a rain out on opening day?
I'd be a little concerned. And you know they love to call those rainouts super early because they have the built-in off day, so they love to get ahead of that one and get those people with those special tickets chance to know what's happening the day after that.
Imagine not having
having a roof. There are so many stadiums in the United States of America that do not have roofs. Can you believe it? It's unconscionable.
Good word.
What haven't we talked about enough? We're almost there, buddy. You're coming home. We're getting started. The season is upon us.
I was going to say Abner Uribe, but I think we talked about him a lot last week.
We have.
I think he wins the closer job. I think he's got it. Like, not necessarily the closer job, like he's not been handed it, but he's got it. You know what I mean? Capital I.
In a way that he needs to pick a walk-in song, like, and have it be a really good choice. The song that he marches to the mound to.
We're going to need Abner Uribe to have a walk-ups. Like, yeah.
Yep. That's absolutely true.
He could just take Bryce Wilson's song.
Oh, that is so good.
It's an elite pitcher song for entrance, but like it just doesn't hit as hard when it's a 6-1 game in the sixth. You know what I'm saying?
I completely agree with you. The song in question is God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash. It is a top of the line walk-in song for a pitcher. You know, just like the perfect archetype of a Southern, you know, big Southern dude walking in. He's going to shut you down. You got the Johnny Cash blaring. Maybe the lights are a little dimmer than they would be normally. Men in Black energy.
And the game is 10-3.
It's in the sixth inning and it's 10-3.
Although maybe Bryce Wilson over under 2.5 starts this year.
2.5. I'm taking the over, buddy. I'm taking the way over.
It's going to be eclectic. The pitching usage.
There is a lot happening there, and I don't honestly know what to make of it all, Kurt. It is deeply, I think it's always been there. It's not like new information, but we are just now confronting. This is what the team looks like having lost the best 1-2 punch in franchise history in 1 year's time. It's quite the shift of gears. You wrrote about this, but when do we think Wade Miley is back in this healthy off the injured list? Do you think that'll be within the first 2 weeks of the season starting?
I would say in the first maybe 3.5 weeks, certainly by the end of April. Yeah. The thing with Wade is like, his timelines are like, he works on the mound. They're a little fast. So you've got to take them with a grain of salt. He said it's a good thing he's starting on the injured list to begin the year. Otherwise, this fellow would have forced his way through to pitch in the first week. And like maybe he could have, but he would not have been 100% healthy. And we've learned over Wade Miley's career what happens when Wade Miley pitches. When Wade Miley is not 100%, it's not good for Wade Miley.
No.
So all right. you want him at 100%, and then the Brewers are going to get that, you know, probably by the third week of April.
Okay. All right. So who is the first person that gets called up to this team? Because again, we had Joey Weimer after one day last year. Shouts to poor Luis Arias, who pulled his hamstring on opening day and we didn't see him for 3 months. Tell me.
I have an answer.
I bet it's the same one I have.
J.B. Bukauskas.
That's not the... I was going with Robert Gasser. But yes.
I think we see Robert Gasser early, but maybe not that... It's a bit tricky, right? Because I guess we can't guarantee injury. So, you know, the answer is probably someone that gets injured.
Yes. But
the guy, if a player's optioned at the beginning of the year, he has to be down a certain amount of time.
Yes.
Although I'm not sure if that applies to Robert Gasser because he was not optioned. He was just reassigned. So,
yeah, I don't know either. That's a really good point. We should probably know that. I think you can bring them up. I think you can add someone.
We clarified it on like a Bukauskas kind of guy, but I did not clarify about non-rosters. So I think we see Gasser early, but not quite that early. It'll be sometime during the stretch of all those games.
Yeah, that 13-game stretch that we've talked about before, that feels like he is a definite part of the plan once that kicks into gear. So we know that we will see him at some point then. Kurt, I don't know if we have anything else. We have hammered this a lot of this stuff to death, and, you know, I think people just have to see it for themselves. Opening day is April 2nd at American Family Field. First, of course, the Mets, the Battle of David Stearns, again, in theory, because the weather is not good, begins on the 28th of March. And then we got a 3-game series, a day off Monday. Big day, April 2nd. Big day. Are you going to be there dressed to the nines? You're going to have a suit for opening day?
We're suited up. I expect you to be suited up, too.
Absolutely not.
That's
not
you don't have to be. I don't think that's your MO. Todd, do you think Todd will be suited up? What are the odds?
I don't know. See, he'll have, if he suits up at all, which of course I don't think he will, but if he does, probably in Queens, don't you think, for the actual opening day, not for, because, you know, there will be people to impress in New York. He doesn't
need to impress. I think so, but I also think that we're discussing a hurricane in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's no chance. Todd Rosiak is that's not how he rolls. Certainly not how I roll. Absolute not a suit kind of guy. But hey, we want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out anyway to our colleague Adam McCalvey. Not colleague, but I don't know what the terminology is. Cohort in the no, that's not it.
Is he not a colleague?
Well, colleague, I always thought kind of implies it's somebody you actually work with as opposed to work alongside.
Allow me to Google.
Oh, Kurt's going to Google. Whatever we call him, Adam McCalvey, he is one of our favorite people in the world, and he's doing fine, I think. He's on his way back from
me too.
Pretty bad eye surgery, so he has not been at spring training with MLB.com. He will be he will not be there to start, I don't believe, the regular season. So
home games.
Oh, he is going to be there for home games. That's outstanding. Yes. I didn't realize.
I'm not here to break Adam's news for him, but he'll be back.
So we will see him as long as he's not traveling. He is one of our favorite people in the world. I know both of us owe a lot to him professionally. Both of us kind of got our start thanks to him we worked for him. We were both interns at MLB.com with him once upon a time. And
that's where I learned how to phrase my questions, and more importantly, how not to phrase my questions.
He is so good at phrasing questions. Like, so he is such a good reporter, and definitely miss sort of his presence around the beat, and we'll continue to miss it when the team's on the road, but it'll be good to see him again. He's awesome.
So colleague definitely applies here. We work with
him. It does. Okay, great.
A person with whom one works is colleague. Okay. And number two, when was the last time you used talk about as a question? Put you on the spot.
Well, I don't know. I assume people are kind of aware of this, but talk about is very verboten among reporters, in my opinion, more than it needs to be, where if you use that sort of terminology, it implies that you don't have an actual question and you just want somebody to sort of BS on a topic and give you a quote, like talk about how you felt out there in the five innings that you threw. No one wants to do that because
talk about the offense.
Yeah. Talk about the offense a little bit. People turn their noses on at that. Again, I think it's a little bit, it's overkill. It's a little bit much. Yes, I know you don't love it. It's not something that I try to do. I try to stay away from it, but I do think there is a place for it. So I try not to judge too harshly. That's all I'm saying.
I understand the dichotomy of my opinion on the matter, right? Like I'm contradicting myself here, right? Because I do not like it when people say that at all. Yet I understand, like you mentioned, what the point of saying talk about is. And that's really the premise of the entire post-game scrum is let me say something. You will understand the general thing I would prefer you to talk about. You will give an answer. We will all smile and say thank you. And then our business interaction is complete.
Well, I also feel like it gives the subject the reins a little bit. Like, yes, I could ask you a very specific question about, you know, your workout regimen and WAR versus this or whatever. But you know what? Talk about pitching. What do you want to talk about? Maybe that's interesting. Maybe that's more interesting than anything I have cooked up in my head. But I know that's not how everybody sees it. It's a controversial take I have, I think. Why are we talking about this?
How many players do you think know their WAR from last year? Like, what percentage?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Like, within a couple decimals.
I would say no more than 33% of big leaguers know their WAR.
I was going to say like 50%.
You think it's higher? Okay, okay.
Because it's smack dab there on your baseball reference page. And I would venture to guess these fellas are often checking, not often, but they have looked at their baseball reference pages.
That I believe. I guess it's one of those numbers that ultimately, I don't know, it's good comparison like over time, but it doesn't really, you know, like I feel like they're more likely to know how many homers they hit or what their on base percentage was, things like
that. I was just thinking, I could figure out how this is. Why don't I ask people this? But I think you're running into an issue here of baseball players who they may not know it, but they don't want to admit that they know their WAR. Even if it's anonymous or off the record,
yeah,
they don't want to be seen as paying attention to that stuff. It's kind of like taboo to care about that stuff as a baseball player.
It's like when you're campaigning to win an Oscar, you know, everybody, well, you want to be gracious and not actually say, look at me, compare my art and give me awards, but you also kind of want the awards.
It's kind of like how I was with Taylor Swift until like my freshman or sophomore year of college.
That's extremely weird. Didn't, segue.
Did not want to acknowledge it.
Oh, I see.
But bangers.
I don't think that actually applies at all as a comparison, but that's fine. We should move on. Why did we start talking about talk about? Is that just something Adam had impressed upon you not to do?
No, we just.
You just wanted to get us to 40 minutes.
This is a stupid podcast.
It's one of our worst, really. But you wanted to get us to 40 minutes, so you started.
I like the topic.
Oh, okay. Well, I do too. I love
things that matter to me and three other people.
Yeah. On Earth. Well, that's true. But I do like talking about it. I love talking about journalism and journalism theory and whatever
and no
it is
one else
we
does.
Do.
And no one else does.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here. Nobody cares. The Brewers are going to start the season this week. We will have a podcast on Sunday. We'll get back to our fun features. Our three up, three down will be coming back. Take the week will be coming back. Hopefully remember when it'll be coming back. I was going to try to get some cool, like new stuff. Hasn't come through yet, but maybe it still will. So we will be back with a full fledged Microbrew podcast on Sunday, looking back at that first series against the Mets, if it happens, and looking ahead to the home opener, that first series against the Minnesota Twins. Thanks for joining me, Kurt Hoag. I will chat with you again. Read everything he has at jsonline.com and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we'll talk again real soon, everybody. Bye-bye. Enjoy the start. Enjoy the opener of the 2024 baseball season.